Pray for us. Father, we thank you just for your presence, your manifested presence in this place, God, and all the honor and glory is yours, God. What we want, Lord, what we desire, Lord God, it means nothing, God. It's all what you desire, Lord. Thank you for you, Lord God. Thank you for what you've done on the cross, Lord. Thank you for giving us life, Lord. God, this morning, we choose life, God. We choose life, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray that that the words of my mouth, Lord, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, Lord God. God, I pray, Lord God, that you circumcise my heart, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, that what we do, Lord God, will bring worship to you, will bring honor to you, Lord God, because you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of everything, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. I watched the movie, and I wasn't, this was not part of my sermon. It's just what I just felt God speaking to me now. I don't know if you've seen Heaven is for Real. Anyone? No. Oh, you all have seen it. Sure. But what is really amazing about this movie, if you haven't seen it, go and watch it. It's about a little boy who was sick. His pancreas, I think, burst, and he almost died. And for me, watching it, I wanted to cry a few times. But he was there. Was just, the father was very angry at God. He said, God, what? Because of many things went wrong in his life. And he shouted at God. He screamed. He said, God, why are you doing this thing? He kicked the chair. And the wife on the other side in a different room was phoning friends saying, please pray, please pray. My son is not doing well. We worried. This boy testifies how he had the out-of-body experience. He could see how the doctors were working on him. And he could see his father kicking the chair. And this father, because he's a pastor, was very embarrassed because of that. And he could see how his mother was phoning people to ask him to pray. And all of this was very emotional to them. The boy's 4 years old. Then later on, he starts telling them things that they've done. And they realize that this boy must have been in heaven. And this pastor's wife is so confronted because we talk about heaven, but when they got confronted about heaven, they got thrown. Is this for real? Is this really for real? What if heaven is there? And he came to a place, and through all of his struggles, that he realized that heaven is for real. Therefore, hell is for real. And he was questioned, and he was facing the question, heaven and hell, and everybody in the congregation, so much so that the people in his church wanted him to stop. They wanted to get a new pastor. Because when you speak about heaven and hell, then it's like, don't go there. We are very comfortable where we are. We don't want to be confronted with this. But the picture that I saw when we were worshiping was when this little boy had an outer body experience, he saw his church, his own church, and he was walking down the aisle, and here the heavens opened, and the angels came, and the angels were singing. And I just had this experience now, the angels, this is a gateway to the presence of God, to heaven. And as we sing, we can know the angels are here, the angels are celebrating, because where the presence of God is, these angels. And the other day we were worshiping, and I realized that when we come together, the angels come because they want to be where worship is. Where true worship is, the angels want to be there. So when we connect and our spirit connects with the Spirit of God, the angels come. And that's where the freedom is in that place where we surrender, completely surrender to the purposes of God. And I want to encourage you to really not come to church to sing, but come to church to connect with the Spirit of God, because God wants to change lives. God is love. God is love. And I just, something that I feel I just have to say this morning, it's not about love, it's about God. We're saying, yes, we must love. No, we must God. Out of God the love will come, because there's a love for the world too. It's not what God wants. It's coming to God. There's a difference between the love of the world and the love for God, the love of the kingdom of God. And the two are apart. You cannot be in the one and the other one. You should be in both. So for me, I'm going to just cover or expose my nakedness this morning a little bit. So I'm just asking you not to speak against me, but rather, if you feel you have to, then just pray. But I want to just share you what journey I'm at the moment. I was going to preach in Umzamo some time ago, and things are tough. I must be honest with you. Maybe some of you don't know, and we haven't announced it yet, but I actually want to share with you that Pastor Jeremiah has chosen to walk away because he's been taking so many shots. He's been taken out, and really bad things has happened to him. And he's choosing to walk away from what he believes the calling of God is on his life. And we are extremely saddened of the circumstances and how it's happening. And my heart breaks for him. It breaks for the church. And there's about to be a division. And the whole thing, the devil comes for the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. I'm seeing how it's happening before me. How people are choosing sides and this and that. And they want to run away. Anyway, I've got to go and preach in Umzamo, and the morning I'm reading the Bible, and the night before Lynette was preparing the children's church message on Cain and Abel, and she says the story of Cain and Abel is really hard to tell to children because it's a brother that hates his own brother and he kills his own brother. Now I've got two sons, and that story to them is like they cannot believe that a brother would hate his brother so much because they really love one another. So, I was just trying to be spiritual with Lynette, and I told her all the spirit and all these things. And then that morning she says to me, "See, I still believe this message should be on anger." And I'm, anger? Okay, well, you know, if you feel that's what God's saying, then I'm continue reading in Proverbs, and I get five scriptures on anger. And I'm like, oops, God is telling me something here. So I go to Lynette, God is speaking to me, anger. And I repent to her, and I repent, and I pray, and I repent to God. And as I'm praying, the next moment, something comes through me. And she's praying, and I'm getting deliverance of anger before I've got to go and preach in Umzamo. So the pastor got deliverance. So before you run away, hear my story out. Now I'm going into Umzamo. I cannot sing. I have to say, I cannot sing. But in Umzamo, the Spirit of God is so present there. I take the mic and I just start flying. And the next moment, I'm hearing this guy singing. And it sounds like me, but it's not my voice because there's something different there. It's not normally how I would sing. Because if it was me, everyone would have ran away. But I sense that, for me, that God is wanting to take us and bring deliverance on stuff that we're not even knowing of. So that was a weekend before. And then the next weekend, these people from Nigeria came. Evangelist Mercy Okum. And Friday night, I went there. And they ministered to us. And I'm like, and they prayed over Lynette and I. And they spoke things over me that I was like, how did you know this? And they set a group around you and they pray over you. And they prayed in the cancelled stuff, and it was really amazing. It was really awesome. Saturday was for me the biggest moment because in the session, I just realized God's anointing came over me very powerfully, I was very emotional when I walked away from that. And then the next day, I preached. I felt like I ran a marathon. I was very tired, but I was sort of excited because I knew something had changed. She said, she spoke a lot about spiritual stuff, about what the enemy is doing against the church, especially in Shofar Church, and that they were praying in Nigeria, and God spoke to them about Stellenbosch, and that they must go to Yaku's father because they're in business together, because his neighbor is needing help. So they came, they met Pastor Fred, and eventually they came to us. And that night when they came to us, I was expecting one of those words of the enemy and all of that, which it was, but she said, it's a new season. It's a new season for this church. And I was like, it's a new season. It's a new season. And she came to declare a new season over this church. And I believe prophetically it's a new season that God has announced over this church. But then she said a few things, and I made note that she said that God needed a man to walk with him. And he called Abram, and he said to Abram, come out of the land where you are to the land that I'm going to call you. So what she was saying, we must break away from old friends and families that is drawing us into darkness, into bad things. We must cut away from that, move away from that environment, because God wants to do something mighty in us. We must take, go away from that lifestyle, go into a new lifestyle, because there's a baby about to be born, a spiritual baby. And I agreed with it because everyone is having babies. Who didn't have a baby this year? Okay, okay, not everyone. So most people had a baby this year. But she said, when a baby comes, what do? You clean the house. You clean the house. And it's time to clean the house. So put the house in order. Then she said that we must address the past. We must get our house in order. She said, complaining opens a door for the serpents to come into our house. And I just agree. I knew it was for us, because when we complain, we open the doors that the devil can come in and really hurt us. Then she said, something is going to happen very soon. Please be ready. Something is going to happen very soon. Please be ready. Break away from curses. And this is my message, breaking away from curses. I wanted to call this a clean the house, but God, I really felt God saying, no, choose life. And then she said, religious pride can cause us to miss it. Religious pride can cause us to miss it. God wants us to be hot, not lukewarm. God wants us to be on fire for Jesus, on fire, on fire. On fire for God, on fire in everything that we do. She said, there's a season of unusual happening, a time of spiritual harvest, extraordinary faith, a season of warfare. There's many other things that she said, but those are the things that I prophetically, I want to just give it to you now. Then Monday night, we're not having Bible school, and I'm like, oh, I can relax. So it's time for me to go into a season of rest. And then Pastor Fred phones me. I said, hello, Fred. And I'm putting my clothes on. It's like at night. And he says, are you training? Are you running? I said, no, I'm putting my clothes on. On my age, it sounds like I'm running. So we had a good laugh there. But then he said to me, Theo, there's some people doing seances at the office. And I'm like, at the office, Fred, Stellenbosch? Fred in Stellenbosch? He said, no, in Somerset West. So I prayed to God, what must I do? He says, phone Gerard. I'm joking about that. Just out of pure flesh, I phone Gerard, kom, ek en jy gaan aksie kyk. There's some action that we have to go and look at. So Gerard, I pick him up. When he gets into my buck, he does that. So I'm sitting like that, you know. So we drive to the office, and there I see the doors are open. There's definitely something going on there. So I'm like, get out. And in the street, I can hear it. And these people doing seances, they speaking curses. And now I'm like, we park the car around, we walk around it, and we go. And I want to get in. And Gerrit's but I'm like very confident because Gerrit is with me. So, but I'm hearing things like, spirit of fire, like, spirit of fire, spirit of fire, spirit of Osiris, destroy the creator, stuff like that, that's been spoken. And we're sitting there, we're waiting, this Lord, the blood of Christ, they come out, and as they walk down, we see the mini cuppy and lights on them. So they come out to their cars, expensive cars, 500,000-600,000 rand worth of cars, beautiful people, really, really good looking people. You can see very successful in life. And they get into their cars. They look at us. And there's this one, this young woman. And there's two older ladies. But that one lady, she picked me up immediately. And she started saying things to throw me. The others were a bit thrown by that. So, but I knew, and she knew. And I wanted to stand there for light, for Christ, for Jesus. We will not stand and be afraid of darkness anymore. I don't care what you're into, but I will stand. So we stand, they get into the car. At first there's one couple and say, "Yeah, no, it works in Afrikaans. Dit werk baie beter as dit vir 'n man is." And they get in, and then eventually I went to Joy magazine as well. Pastor Fred asked me to. And then there's this one guy that I spoke, and Aaron said to me, "Go meet this guy," and I met him. And then as I started telling what happened, he said, "It sounds like a Frank Peretti book." And he gets in good goosebumps. Eventually we're talking about Frank Peretti, and this guy and I, we're starting to exchange notes. And I searched them, just the address, and I found out that they are in Kabbalah. I don't know if you know what Kabbalah is, but Kabbalah is the oldest form of witchcraft. All Satanists, all of those things comes from Kabbalah. The people with the red strings around their hands are Kabbalah, are in Kabbalah, like Madonna and those people. And they would call upon the Hebrew names of God to invoke curses. That's basically what they are into. And on the website, it talks about their astral project and all these things, and natural healing and foods and all of those things. So I'm quite excited then about all these things. And then Wednesday morning in intercession, we prayed, and it was a lot about the Holy Spirit, being obedient to the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. And then this one girl gave a testimony that was really amazing to me, because that summed up what I believe God is saying to me. She said she's on fire for the Lord, this girl. She's a cell leader. Her best friend is on fire for the Lord, lives in a different place. They're talking on the phone. She says, within half an hour, they're not friends anymore. Fine. Then we're not friends anymore. Yes. And they put the phone down. And she says, in her mind, she's working it out and saying, "Look, I don't want to be friends with her. It's God take me to a new season. And she's not good for me. And God's releasing me from this friendship." And all these things are going through her mind. Sunday night, she responds, or she just asks a girl, say, "Listen, I must pray with you." And they prayed, and she repents. She says, "God, forgive me for my hard and heart and many things like that." And then they phoned one another, and they, "Oh, ek is jammer, ek is lief vir jou, ek is lief vir jou." And God restored the friendship. The day after that, she was doing CrossFit. It's not like a Christian thing, it's just like you do a lot of exercise that old people like us shouldn't do. Except good. And a 45 kilogram weight fell on her neck, and it didn't harm her. And I'm like, sure. And then we went into worship again, and as we worship, I heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me, "You were set up. Your protection was in your obedience." And when I said it to her, she started crying. I could see she knew this was the Spirit of God speaking to her. This was not man. This was God speaking to her. And I felt God saying to me, we come into His presence, but we don't respond to His altar calls. We're struggling with stuff. God calls us to come forward or to respond, and we resist that. And we just say, "Not now." And we're taking strain because of things that we have, because we cannot respond to His voice. And I'm feeling there's a thing that He's saying to us. Just come into the Spirit of God. Just come into His presence. And it sounds so right, and it is so right. But in His presence, when He speaks to us, in the still small voice, we must learn to respond to that. When He says, "Go and give Kurt a hug. Go and give Kurt a hug." Then I go, no, but Kurt is upset with me. I say, "Go and give him a hug." And I don't want to, because I just need to be in His Spirit. I have to respond and give Kurt a hug. Because in that thing, reconciliation can take place. Because I'm responding on what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And this is where I'm realizing we many times just like come into His presence, and in His presence, He will change us. But the shepherd speaks, and the sheep follow His voice. And they follow His voice. They follow Him as He leads. And He leads us to do things that we don't understand. But we must learn to become responsive, obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I believe this is where, for us as Christians, God wants to take us to a new level, that we can become obedient to the word of God. So I believe this is a season, because many people have responded. You saw Mara Lai giving her testimony twice on how when we prayed for her, and when we prayed for her, we were just in the spirit, and I didn't even realize I walked around her, but I'm like just walking, and she's saying, she counted 7 times, and she felt our stuff went out of her, and praise God for that. I didn't think of anything. I just prayed what I felt that God was leading me. But I believe there's many people, including me, and I think God starts with me, probably. He starts with me. I hope He's starting with me. I hope He completes with me as well. But it's a time for us to be delivered from curses that we've inherited, that we've received over many times. And now you're probably going to say, but a curse cannot affect me. Because Jesus died on the cross for me, a curse won't affect me. But I just want to take you to the story of Balaam and Balak, that in Deuteronomy 23, verse 5, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. Instead, the Lord your God turned the curses into blessing for you, because the Lord your God loved you. And that's so key. Nothing can happen to us because God loves us. God loves us. And if people try to curse us, God will take those curses and turn it into blessings for us. And those curses will go back to the people again. Balaam was the guy that was asked by Balak to go and curse the Israelites. And he said, I can only do that what God allows me to do. So he goes and he tries to curse them. And as he starts blessing them. And this guy's like, why do you do this? I ask you, I've paid you to do it. And he goes again, and the second time, he blesses the people of Israel. And they're like, why have you done that? And then the third time, he was not supposed to go, and the donkey came, and the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, and the donkey was not wanting to go forward. And then he fought with his donkey, and then the donkey spoke to him. That's the story. And then he said, but why are you doing this? And eventually, the third time, he blessed them. But then Balaam, you can go to the next scripture. Balaam said to him, if you can get them to sleep with the Moabite wives and to eat their food, then they will be cursed. Disobedience. If you can get them to be disobedient, it will be a stumbling block to them. And he says, so that the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put the stumbling block before the sons of Israel so that they might eat the food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. And when they did that, the curses was released on the people of Israel. And you can read it if you go back to Numbers. That's exactly what happened with them. He couldn't curse them because they were obedient. But when they walked, when they were disobedient, the curses came upon them. So, blessings, where's Cornelius? Okay. But you must please turn to Deuteronomy 28 in your Bibles. This is for him. I think he's sitting there in the back. I'm going to just look at Deuteronomy 28 and Deuteronomy 30. But Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2 says, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, I believe that voice is the Holy Spirit. Is the leading of the Holy Spirit, but it's also the Word of God, what we read in Scripture. If we faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations, and these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord. So God wants to bless us. God, I believe God wants to bless us with all that He has. He wants to set us up. He wants to set us up as a people above the other people because God loves us. I believe this is the heart, this is the Word of God, that God wants to bless His people. And He wants to put us up there so that these blessings will overtake us. Verse 6 says that blessings, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. So, and it talks, you'll be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in all these different places. But to summarize it, there will be exaltation. In other words, you'll be acclaimed. It will be, well done. How did you do this? And you just go, it's God, it's God. But that will be your life. There will be blessing on everything that you do. Good health. God will bless us with good health. reproductiveness, which means this, it's fruitful, it's productive. Our homes will be, there will be children. There will be, our business will grow. We will help other people to grow their business. Our children will be blessed. Their friends will become blessed. Our families will be blessed. They will, things will grow. That's all around us. There will be, when we plant things, it will grow. Our plants won't die because God's blessing is upon us. They say God wants to bless. He wants to reproduce. He wants to bring things. Church will be blessed. People will multiply cells. New people will come in and they will go out and great things will happen to them. They will get healing, miracles, breakthroughs because God wants to bless. God wants to bless His people. There will be prosperity. There will be rich people. They will have lots of money. Not because they are rich and they selfish, but when God blesses us, God will bless us that we can bless other people. I really believe that with all my heart. I'm not a prosperity teacher, but I believe the blessing of God, there will be money to do great mighty things. I really believe that with all of my heart. There will be victory. God's favor will be upon our lives. I believe this is what God is. And to give you a definition, it's my own definition, everything will work out. It's no effort. People say, you are lucky. You'll be happy. And like Daniel, my son, say, awesome. It will be awesome when God blesses us. If you say no, but this is Old Testament. This is Old Testament. John 14 verse 15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. 1 John 5 verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. It's not burdensome. It's light. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. It's yes. It's awesome. Amen. The reason God wants to bless us in verse 9 and 10, the Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he had sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by my name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. So I believe God wants to establish us to be a people to him, that we will be holy. That's why he wants to bless us. And it will establish us there. And people will look, those people serve God, and they will be afraid. They will not mess with them because they know that these people serve God. The blessing of God is upon them. If I stand against that person, I will come second. I better not stand against this person. I will not even try to curse them because I know I will come second. I believe this is the reason God wants to bless us, that the world will know that our God is mighty and powerful. And when we pray things like, Lord, for your name's sake, with confidence, because we know who our God is. But then there are curses that come with disobedience, like happened with the Israel people. They ate stuff they weren't supposed to eat. It was food that was bewitched, and that caused them to become cursed. And they started sleeping with women they were not married to, and it brought curses upon them. Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 says, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. All these curses, if we're not obedient to him and to his voice and to his commandments, these curses will come upon us, but it will overtake us. Now, just a definition of a curse, it's like an invisible barrier. It's like, you don't know what it is, but it's like something standing between you and awesome, and you don't know what it is. Everyone gets promoted, everyone gets chosen, but not you. You know, I'm in line for that promotion. Someone gets it. I didn't get it. You know, you take a chance out there in the world and yours didn't work out. You buy that house and it falls flat. Why me, God? Why me? And then it's like a quicksand. You sucking or mud, and the more you try to move, the more you can't get out. Or it's a spider's web. The more you try to get yourself out of it, the more you get entangled in it, and you can't get out. And you're not sure why this thing is. And we get used to these curses. We think it's us, it's me. I'm not good enough. It's not me. I've been born that way. I'm supposed to be angry because my father was angry. We all get sick. All my generations, we've been sick. It's how it is. It's how it's supposed to be with us, which I believe is a lie. It's like, I reckon it's when we prayed in our office, because all the pastors came to pray with us. But it's like you saw a picture that there's frogs in our drinking water. But we're so used to the frogs, we just drink water. We don't even see the frogs anymore because we've become so used to the frogs in our water. You are never successful. You lose the inheritance. There could have been an event in your life that caused it. For example, I know of someone who, the lady from Nigeria, says in one of her books, in slavery in Nigeria, when the people came to kidnap the people for slavery, they would pray and say, or they would say, God, let our children be dumb and not strong, so that they won't be taken as slaves. And now, over many years, their children are dumb and they can't get jobs anywhere. And they had to go and repent over this thing that they've spoken over their children, the forefathers, and they could break it so that something could happen in their children. In my own family, my great-grandfather, his wife was younger than him, and she was sitting on an ox wagon, and he wanted to make a joke with her, but I think he was malicious, and the horses started running away, and his wife got such a fright that she got a stroke, and she died sometime after that. And there was so much bitterness in our family, and I believe this event caused this thing to happen that brought a generational curse over the family, and many people can have many different curses that can be on their lives. But you will see this humiliation. People are being humiliated, shame, dishonor, barrenness, unfruitfulness in their families, in them, mental or physical sickness, family breakdown. There's not a blessing on the family. There's people are always fighting in the families. Poverty, defeat, oppression, failure, God's disfavor, the cause of curses. When this lady from Nigeria was here, she was speaking this over us, and she said, we've become carnal. It's in the flesh. We love the things of the world so much. We've become carnal. And she said, we must break away from being carnal. We are cold in our relationship with God. There's immorality, there's divorce. We must break evil covenants. Satan's got three pillars. He's got an altar, a sacrifice, and a covenant. And we must break loose the covenants that was made with the ancestors. Because there's one altar, and it's the cross. And there was one sacrifice once and for all, with the perfect blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a new covenant made for all of us, and it was given the seal of the Holy Spirit. God has given us this new covenant that we don't have to do altars to get power and stuff anymore. We can just come to Jesus because He has done the price, the ultimate price for us on the cross. So see, there's indicators of a curse, mental or emotional breakdown, repeated or chronic sickness in the family, barrenness or tendencies to miscarriage, suicide or untimely deaths, breakdown in family and family alienation, continuing financial insufficiency, being accident prone. Those can be indicators that there is a curse, that there's a possible curse on our lives. And there are different causes for curses. It can be God Himself, as in Deuteronomy. It can be our disobedience. It can be betrayal or just being disloyal to somebody, to something, or whether it happened to you. Illicit or unnatural sex, sex with animals, same sex, people outside of marriage, all those things can bring curses on our lives. Any anti-Semitism, when we hate the Jews, I believe all racism brings curses on people. I believe South Africa is taking strain because of racism, and I really believe it's time to break those things. When we trust man and we're not trusting God, when we lie, stinginess towards God. We don't bring offerings, tithes to the Lord. Preaching false gospels. Issued by God's mouthpiece when the man of God says, you can be cursed. Unclean objects in our homes. You know, like these masks from Africa. Or Buddha statues in our homes. Stuff like that that we bring into our house, it can bring a curse on you. And you don't know where it's coming from and everything is going wrong and you don't understand. Self-imposed curses will never amount to anything. When you start saying those things over yourselves, unscriptural covenants, like the Freemasons, Bruderbund, when they make those covenants, it brings a curse on the families. Being servants of Satan, they come and curse you. They astral project in the church and they speak curses on the people because they hate Jesus. They hate God. Relational authority. A husband can curse his wife or other way around. Or parents can curse their children. Or the curses can even curse their parents. And in this one book, I've read now all her books because I really believe it was very prophetic that she came here. But she said, in Nigeria, there will be agents of Satan that will give food to the children. The children will eat the food and they will become bewitched. And then they will curse their parents. And the parents start losing everything, but they don't know what it is. But it was because of the food that they ate. In Galatians, it says, oh, who have bewitched you, O Galatians? So, you know, I just believe, and I'm saying to Lynette as well, this is a time, really, when we eat, to say, God, in Jesus' name, bless this food. Amen. Bless the food. All food is created from God. We can say thank you to everything that was made. God created it. We can just bless it in the name of Jesus. But not be ignorant, because everything that there is has got halal on it these days. Everything. I believe they're trying to bewitch us. So we just bless the food in the name of Jesus that it won't affect us. Then there was the prophetic warning against Islam in verse 49 and 52. I really believe it's confirming it. But it says, the Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the end of the earth, sweeping down like the eagle, a nation whose language you do not understand. And then verse 52 says, they shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you in all your towns throughout all your land which the Lord your God has given you. Three different people came with the same word. The groundwork has been laid. The groundwork has been laid. If we don't pray, Evangelist Mercy said, God is asking for violent prayers. Islam is going to take over this country. She said, in Nigeria, we thought it will never happen, but it happened. I believe three different people, Dr. Batase said, the groundwork has been laid. You must pray. Anton, with that person that they led to the Lord from Islam, when they tried to ask him to come back, they said the groundwork has been laid. The same with Evangelist Mercy, the groundwork has been laid. God is saying, if we don't pray, Islam will take this country over from us. And we think, and she said, we never thought it can happen in Nigeria, and it happened. I really believe it's time for the church to wake up, to really become and understand that God is wanting to do a mighty work in us. And, you know, just, yes, he said, God will use us when our obedience is fulfilled. This is what she had said. When we have our own evil thoughts under control. She said, don't let the birds make nests in our mind. When a bird is coming into your mind, you tell him to go in the name of Jesus. Because God wants holy minds before him. Then it won't be difficult to obey God. But it's because our minds get defiled that it's so difficult to obey. Because we are overstimulated through television and that to become sexual immoral, as that scripture had said. Because the devil wants to have a foothold in us that he can curse us. That the curses can stick. Because God wants to bless us, but he's looking for our obedience. And it's difficult to obey. It's difficult when our minds is unrenewed. But when we come to Christ, he renews the mind because he has done it 2,000 years ago on the cross. Can we inherit a curse from the fathers? Deuteronomy 28, verse 58 to 59. If you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions, affliction severe and lasting, and sickness grievous and lasting. So yes, you and your offspring. I believe this is where many of us are. You didn't choose it. I didn't choose it. But we're taking strain. And I'm not getting breakthrough. And I'm praying. And I'm seeing all these things in the Bible. But there's this invisible barrier. And I can't get through it. And I'm not understanding why. God, I'm praying all the right things. I'm doing all the right things. Why am I taking strain? Why are people around me suffering so much? Why are people getting cancer, Lord? Why are all these things happening to us? Why are people losing their jobs? Why are their families being pulled away? I believe it's because of this thing of the forefathers. We've not been obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We've not been obedient to the Word of God, what God's Word has been saying to us. We've become so busy with the world, the things of the world. It's so important to do and be successful at work that we neglect spending time with God, spending time and growing in our relationship with God. So we get so distracted with the world that God cannot bless us. Because we put our focus in man, in me. I can do this. But God is saying, let me do it. Because if you trust me, then great things will happen. If you trust man, cursed will be that person, unfortunately. And I believe God wants to set us free. I really believe God wants to set us free from this thing. Deuteronomy, so Numbers 14 verse 18 says, the Lord is slow to anger. God is slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. He's forgiving the iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty. He will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations. God is loving, he's forgiving, he's full of mercy, he's full of grace, all those things. But we must come to him, because these things get given over to the children of the children's children. Deuteronomy 30, verse 1 says, and these things will come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind amongst the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. And now, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the people where the Lord has scattered you. And this is so prophetically what was going to happen in Israel, because they were scattered all over Babylon. And then God comes and he brought them back, because God wants to bless his people, but he's desiring obedience to the word. Verse 5 says, and the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and that you may live. God wants to sacrifice. He wants to take our hearts. He wants to bless us. This is God's heart. He wants us to want to worship him. It's not an effort. It's not an effort. It shouldn't be an effort. If it is, there's things that I believe God wants to break over us. Ezekiel 36 says, verse 26, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put in you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. So God is saying, the hardness of heart, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, all those things, he wants to take away from us. And he wants to give us a new heart that we can love, we can forgive, we can walk in the goodness of God, that we can surrender and walk in faith, that God can bless us, that we can be excited about the things of God, the word of God, the people of God, the love of God. But he will put his spirit upon us. and it will come effortless. The Spirit will cause us to do these things. But we must make a choice. I believe God is wanting us to make a choice. He wants us. He says he will cause you. He will cause you to walk in my statutes and to obey his rules. Verse 14 of Deuteronomy 30 says, but the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. Just do it. We can do it because the word is near us. The word is in our mouth. It's in our heart. We know the word. We can do this because we've received it. We received the word. We've received the Spirit of God. We can do this. Romans 10 says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Can you see the work that God wants to do? He wants to circumcise our hearts because he's given us this new covenant that God wants to bless us. I really believe God wants to break the stuff from our forefathers over our lives that he can bless us. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 30 says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I command you today, by loving the Lord, your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. So it says, if we obey the commandments that the God commands us, by loving him, by walking in his ways, by keeping his commandments, his statutes and his rules, God will bless us. He will bless this land. I believe this is a turn that we must make to God to completely surrender from this world, out of the world, into the kingdom. To surrender, to make that move to God. James 1 verse 22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because we hear the words, but we're not responding to the commandment. This is what God is saying, what a still small voice is saying. We hear it, but we choose not to do it. So I am busy. Yes, I know I should stop Facebook. I should whatever. But we don't do it. We keep on doing it. But I believe God is saying, no, not do it. Just do it. Just break. Break with those things. Deuteronomy 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give to them. So I believe God is saying life and death, blessing and cursing. He wants us to choose life, that we must come to him, that we must surrender the world, the stuff of the world, and say, God, I'm making a choice for you. That we not worry about business when it's time for church. We say, God, I want to be in your presence, God. I surrender everything that you give me. I want to be used by you, God. I want to be an instrument in your hands, Lord God. I surrender to your purposes. I believe if we seek the kingdom of God and its righteousness, all these things will be added to you. I really believe God wants to bless us. Deuteronomy 31 verse 6 says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear nor be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. I just want to finish with this. Be bold and courageous. Be bold in the Lord. Stand strong. God is with us. We don't have to fear of anything. God wants to bless us. He wants to do good things to us. But he wants us to turn to him. And you know that scripture, I was going to share it, but Paul says, all the things that I want to do, I don't do. And all the things that I'm trying to do, I can't do. And it's that sin that was in his life. But there's a place that I believe God wants to bring deliverance over all the stuff that's been holding us down because God wants to bless us. So I've asked something very prophetic today. I'm going to ask the children to come in because we have a dance that I want, that Daniel and Caesar is going to do for us, that I really believe God wants to break stuff over our lives. And as I just felt some time ago, God is saying to me, the men should dance. And I thought, if I'm going to ask the men to stand up here to come and dance, they will not come. So I got two men to stand in place of that, to come and do this prophetic dance so that God can come and break the stuff over our lives. Welcome. Hallo julle. Hoe gaan het? Lekker om julle te hê. Volgende week is het my beurt, nee? Dan gaan ek vir julle lesie aanbied. Sien julle uit? Ja, ek ook. So, as they walk in, I just want to encourage you to just bring to your mind the stuff that you are struggling with. The things that you know must be broken in your life that God wants to take away from you as we are going to listen to this song. Yes, Daniel, come help.
Jealousy, you have no place here. I command you to leave. claim this crown in Yeshua's name, 'cause our God reigns.
I just want to, Lord God, I thank you, Lord, that you have not given us a spirit of heaviness, Lord God, but you've given us a garment of praise, Lord. God, thank you, Lord, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, Lord God. God, thank you, Lord, that you've not called us, Lord God, to be victors, Lord God, to be people who suffer, Lord God. You have been called us to be overcomers, Lord God. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to speak the blessing of the Lord, God, over this, your people, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, bless your people, Lord. Bless the people of God in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord God, that to open the doors, Lord God, that the King of Glory can come in, Lord God. The King of Glory to come over the people, Lord, to bless them, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Father, we praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you've paid the price on the cross, Lord God. And God, in the name of Jesus, we say to Pharaoh, let God's people go in the name of Jesus. And God, we release the blessings of the Lord upon your people, God. Keep them, Lord God. Let your countenance be upon them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for families to be united, Lord. I pray, Lord God, for businesses to do well, Lord God. I pray for missionaries, Lord, to be raised up, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, for finances in the kingdom of God, Lord. I pray for brothers to be blessed, God. I pray for the children to be blessed in the name of Jesus, God. I pray that there will be no sicknesses on our children, Lord God. They will not get corrupted by the world, Lord God. Their minds will be pure, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Their hearts will be pure, Lord God. The parents will be blessed, God. People struggling to have children will have children in the name of Jesus, God. We break the curse of barrenness, Lord. We break this curse that caused people not to have to find the partner of their lives, Lord God. We break this thing that breaks your people down, and we declare the victory of the Lord in the name of Jesus over God's people, Lord God. And we rejoice because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Every praise
to our God.
Now, Father, I just want to renounce, God, on behalf of us and our forefathers, God, all covenants that was made with Satan, with darkness, God, we renounce it in Jesus' name. We repent of it, God, in the name of Jesus. And God, today we choose life, Lord God. We choose Jesus, Lord God. We choose you with all of our hearts, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. God, thank you that you want to bless us, Lord, so that we can be a blessing, God. And Father, we just say we surrender to your purposes, God. And I speak a blessing over all your people, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. May God bless you. Thank you for being here. Amen. Dankie julle. Dankie dat julle hier was.